Hello and welcome to this Microsoft TechNet session on Making Identity and Access Management Real, Destination Reached. My name is Aaron Clutter. In this session, Microsoft Consulting has returned once more to help the Contoso Company improve their IT infrastructure. We pick up again with the Contoso Company a year down the line. And while the company is starting to realize the benefits of increased security and reduced management costs with the first part of Active Directory rollout, there are still some challenges to face and issues to resolve. We'll start by looking at what we've accomplished so far at Contoso. While deploying Active Directory and enforcing security standards has gone a long way towards solving many of the identity and access management problems, there are still some areas that we need to address. First, Contoso has reported that user productivity has been hampered by unapproved application use. There are no standard policies for where user data is saved, and there's a general lack of desktop security. We'll use group policy to resolve these situations. And although a single domain sign-on has allowed for easier access between Windows systems in the environment, there are still some legacy applications and Linux servers that require separate identity and access management. We'll deploy and configure Microsoft Identity Integration Server, or MIIS 2003, to allow for password synchronization between these systems in Active Directory. Having identified these challenges, we'll then present some solutions that can have immediate and substantial benefits for end users and the IT infrastructure. By the end of this session, you should be able to identify any identity and access management challenges within your own organization and have a better idea of how to face them. As we go through today's session, you'll hear various Microsoft acronyms and terminology. While we will explain all new terms related to today's session, there are some general terms from the industry or from other versions of Microsoft products that we may not spend time on. To help you out, we have listed the areas that it may be helpful to be familiar with, either prior to this session or to reference afterwards. Specifically, if you've managed user accounts and access across multiple operating systems, directory services, and applications within the enterprise, then you'll likely appreciate the challenges that the Contoso company currently faces. As you'll be working with Windows Server 2003 and Windows XP in this session, you'll have an easier time following along if you're familiar with this operating system and user interface. To cover the topics mentioned and keep the session flow going, we've divided the session up into the following agenda items. We'll start by reviewing what we've accomplished so far and looking at new identity and access management problems that Contoso is facing today. Next, we'll show how we'll implement tighter desktop environment control with group policy. We'll finish up the session by showing how we'll deploy and configure MIIS 2003 to extend single sign-on to the legacy applications and Linux servers in use at Contoso. But first, let's look at the environment in which we'll be working today. The demonstrations today will take place in this environment. We have a single domain, contoso.com, with a domain controller, SEADC01, and a Windows XP workstation. The domain controller also has MIIS 2003 installed and will serve as our legacy web application server. We'll talk about both of these later on in the session. So let's take a look at what we've done at Contoso so far. If we refer back to the infrastructure optimization model, we can see that at the end of the previous session, we met our goal of moving the identity management infrastructure at Contoso from a basic environment to a more efficient standardized one. By deploying Active Directory, we've essentially achieved single sign-on, and users are able to accomplish what they need to do more quickly than ever before without needing to remember different usernames and passwords for different systems and network resources. By implementing group policy, we have password security policies that are both easy to manage and enforce, as well as keeping the environment more secure. Finally, the tools built into Active Directory allow for IT staff to enjoy centralized, scalable management that allows them to perform administrative tasks locally and remotely across the enterprise. With this infrastructure in place, Contoso is poised to move to a rationalized environment where they can extend Active Directory, deploy additional management and inventory tools such as SMS, and synchronize their legacy applications and Linux systems with Active Directory and MIIS. The move from a basic to standardized infrastructure has had many benefits for Contoso. Before the Contoso company moved from a basic to standardized infrastructure, servers were managed in a haphazard fashion. There was little structure in the server delegation, and password management was an ordeal. By deploying Active Directory, we've helped them become more agile by increasing security, establishing a compliance framework, enabling rich collaboration with tools such as SharePoint, and increasing employee productivity. Service levels have increased because of an easier standardized logon experience, and we've improved directory and network services availability while maintaining network performance. Finally, we've realized cost savings by reducing operational and administrative overhead. The Active Directory domain infrastructure has also reduced the cost associated with managing user accounts, while help desk cost has been reduced with the implementation of Windows Single Sign-On. While this is great news for Contoso, there are still a couple of issues that we need to help them with. Although we've helped Contoso come a long way, one area in which the help desk is spending a lot of time on is securing and standardizing desktops. Users are free to install whatever applications they want, access parts of the operating system that should be off-limits, or modify desktop settings in such a way as to create problems for the next user who sits at that workstation. Not only that, but user data is also frequently saved in the local My Documents folder, making it difficult for users who may not use the same computer every day to access their files and for IT to back up those files. Contoso also needs to provide access to non-Windows systems, including a legacy web application and Linux servers. Because they don't directly integrate with Active Directory, we need to provide a solution to extend single sign-on to those systems. Looking ahead, Contoso wants single sign-on to be as pervasive as possible throughout the enterprise. Some possible solutions they are considering are moving to Microsoft Exchange Server for email and using the collaboration features of Microsoft Windows SharePoint Services and Microsoft Office SharePoint Portal Server in the future. Also on the horizon, Contoso plans to roll out Systems Management Server, or SMS, 2003 for simplified, scalable server management, as well as for hardware and software inventory purposes on client computers. SMS 2003 will be covered in the next part of this webcast series. So with this in mind, let's move on to our first solution. Managing user desktops can be a severe drain on IT resources. So let's look at some of the challenges that Contoso faces today with regard to managing desktops. First, users have free rein over their desktop environment. While this is fine to a point, we need to restrict their ability to install unauthorized applications and wasting time by playing games. We also want to restrict their access to certain parts of the operating system, such as the run command and control panel applets. Finally, users typically store their files in the My Documents folder on the desktop. We need a way to centralize the storage of user data. In the previous session, we saw how group policy can be used to enforce security settings, such as password expiration and account lockouts due to failed login attempts. We'll also use group policy to restrict access to certain desktop features and allow saved user files to be stored on a central file server. GPOs can be linked to the domain, site, or OU levels in the domain. In the demonstration, we'll create a GPO that controls some specific desktop settings for certain domain users. First, we'll create a software restriction policy that prevents users from playing solitaire. By default, all start menu options are available, including the run command. The first setting we'll configure will remove the run command from the start menu. This can help prevent users from running programs that they shouldn't. Another default system configuration tool is the Add or Remove Programs applet. For various reasons, we don't want the sales team to be able to add, change, or remove applications to or from their workstations. So another policy element that we'll configure will remove this from the control panel. Users in the sales group frequently use other computers within the company. Many of these users save their important documents in the My Documents folder, but find that these files aren't available when they switch computers. The solution is to implement a policy that redirects these users' My Documents folder to their home path on a network share. So with these goals in mind, let's move on to the demonstration. In this demonstration, we'll configure a policy that locks down certain elements of the desktop and redirects the My Documents folder. Right now, we're logged on to a Windows XP workstation as a user named Aaron C. Before we start configuring policy settings that are going to impact this user, let's first review a few of the standard operating system features. When we click Start, we can see that the Run option is on the Start menu. This allows users to run files by path and name, or to directly navigate to a location on the local file system or UNC path. If we open the control panel, we can see that this user is able to add or remove programs through the control panel. And if we look at the properties for the My Documents folder, we'll notice that My Documents currently points to a location on the local file system. We also have a shortcut to Solitaire on the desktop. Right now, this user is able to run this application, but in a moment, we'll configure a software restriction policy that will restrict this specific application. And finally, we have a shortcut on the desktop for automatic updates. Currently, automatic updates is turned off, and this user doesn't have the privileges to enable or modify the automatic update settings. These are just some of the standard issues that Contoso would like to address. So now we'll move to the domain controller and open up the Group Policy Management Console. We'll begin by creating a GPO and linking it to the User Accounts GPO. Any user configuration settings that we configure in this GPO will be inherited by user accounts in the Data Entry Users, Power Users, and Standard Users OUs. For the All Users GPO, since it will affect all users, we will only configure one setting, Folder Redirection. One of the problems at Contoso is that users who save their data to the My Documents folder can only retrieve those files if they're on the same computer on which they were saved. Through Group Policy, you can redirect data in the Application Data, Desktop, My Documents, and Start menu folders to another location. This is useful if you have roaming users who need to access their important files no matter where they're logged on in the domain. Aside from not configured, there are two folder redirection settings that you can choose. Basic redirection redirects everyone's folder to the same location. Advanced redirection allows you to specify different locations for various users or groups. For our purposes, basic redirection will be sufficient. Once you choose a setting type, you need to decide where the folder will be redirected. You can create a folder for each user under the root path, which creates a folder in the form of /last server name /ser/user account name /folder name. Each user will get a unique path to his or her redirected folder. You can select the Redirect to the Following Location option, which uses an explicit path to the redirected location. This can cause multiple users to share the same path to the redirected folder. Or you can redirect the local user profile location, which moves the locations of the folders in the local user profile under Documents and Settings. The My Documents folder has one more option, redirect to the user's home directory. To use this option, the home directory attribute on the user must be defined. We will create a folder for each user under the root path to the user data share on the domain controller. A sample path shown here says that for the user Claire, this folder will be redirected to /SEADC01/userdata/Claire/mydocuments. That's sufficient for the All Users GPO for now. Next, we'll create a GPO that will be linked to the Data Entry Users OU. The Data Entry Users at Contoso have a pretty simple job, and we don't want them to be distracted by having too much freedom to alter their desktop settings or to play games. So let's go ahead and enable some policy settings in the Data Entry Users GPO now. Since we are working on a GPO linked to an OU that contains only users, it should make sense that we're only modifying user configuration settings. We'll get to computer configuration settings shortly. As you might expect, settings in the Start menu and Taskbar folder allow you to modify various aspects of the Start menu and the Taskbar. Some of these settings include removing shortcuts from the desktop, changing items that are available from the Start menu, and controlling whether the recently opened document's history can be modified, among other things. Enabling the Remove Run Menu from Start Menu setting will remove the Run command from the Start Menu, Internet Explorer, and the Task Manager, and will prevent users from entering a local or UNC path in Windows or Internet Explorer. Before you enable and configure a policy setting, it's a good idea to review the Explain tab. The information here can help you make a more informed decision as to whether you should configure this setting and may even include information on additional settings that you must configure should you decide to enable it. Settings in the Control Panel folder allow you to restrict or change various components of the control panel, such as display and printer options. Enabling the Remove Add or Remove Program setting will prevent users from using add or remove programs to install or uninstall software. And while we're in here, let's go configure a software restriction policy. By default, no software restriction policies are defined. So the first thing to do is to create the policy. Software restriction policies have two security levels: disallowed, which prohibits software from running regardless of user access rights, and unrestricted, which allows the access rights of the user to determine what software he or she can run. Unrestricted is the default setting. With this security level, you must configure rules that prevent specific software from running. You could change the default to disallowed, but that means you'd have to define specific rules for each application or other software these users can run. When you enable software restriction policies, four rules are created by default and ensure that the files and applications required by Windows are enabled. You can create several additional software restriction rules. You can create certificate rules that will verify that applications are signed with a valid digital certificate allowed by your organization. You might sign application files in your organization and then only allow applications that are signed with the proper digital signature to be started. A hash is a series of bytes with a fixed length that uniquely identifies a software program or file. A hash rule allows you to identify a program regardless of location or file name. If the executable is the same, the hash will be the same. Zone rules apply only to Windows installer packages. A zone rule can identify software from a zone that is specified through Internet Explorer. These zones are Internet, Intranet, Restricted Sites, Trusted Sites, and My Computer. A path rule identifies software by its file path. For example, if you have a computer that has a default security level of disallowed, you can still grant unrestricted access to a specific folder for each user. You can create a path rule by using the file path and setting the security level of the path rule to unrestricted. You can also create registry path rules that use the registry key of the software as its path. To prevent users in the Data Entry Users OU from playing solitaire instead of working, we'll create two rules. The first will be a hash rule. This is the executable file for the solitaire game that is included with Windows XP. The file hash is shown, and the security level is set to disallowed. This means that any application that matches this file hash will not be allowed to run. If somehow this file is changed, for example, through a service pack, or if the user was savvy enough to attempt to replace the executable file with an older version of the game, we can still use a path rule to restrict the file from running based on its location in the file system. So, to recap so far, we have created a general GPO for all users that redirects their My Documents folder to a network share. We also created another GPO linked to the Data Entry Users OU that removes the run command and add or remove programs, as well as enabling a software restriction policy that prevents data entry users from playing solitaire. So far in this session, we've only configured user configuration settings. But we also want to apply group policy settings to desktop workstations regardless of which user is logged on. We'll create a new GPO linked to the workstation accounts OU, which will affect all workstations, be they desktops, IT, or laptops OU. Nearly every aspect of the user or computer environment can be managed and enforced through group policy. The Windows Update options pertain to the Windows Update settings for computers within the scope of management. The first setting we'll look at will allow us to control how Windows automatic updating will behave on the target computers. A quick glance at the Properties window lets us know that this policy will only affect computers running Windows Server 2003, Windows XP with Service Pack 1, and Windows 2000 with Service Pack 3. So let's go ahead and enable this setting now. Many policy settings have additional options that you can configure when you enable them. In this section, we have several different settings that allow us to control how Windows updates are downloaded and installed. In the interest of not potentially interrupting someone's work during the day for Windows updates, we'll configure updates to automatically download and install at a specific time. Doing this will allow the client computer to automatically download updates as they become available. And if there are new updates to install, they'll be installed every morning at 3 a.m. Having configured that setting, there's also a related setting that allows us to manage what happens if a scheduled automatic update is missed. With this setting enabled, a scheduled installation that did not take place earlier will occur 2 minutes after the computer is next started. So now we've configured both user and computer configuration settings to help keep the workstations at Contoso more secure and productive. To make GPOs more efficient, you can filter settings based on user or computer settings. Since for this GPO, there are only user configuration settings established, we can speed up the process of applying group policy when users log on by preventing group policy from trying to process computer configuration settings that don't apply. At the same time, we can prevent group policy from scanning user configuration settings for GPOs that contain only computer configuration settings. And we'll do the same thing for the data entry user's GPO to prevent computer configuration settings from being read. As we discussed in the previous installment of this webcast, group policy application is one of the important factors we considered when creating the Active Directory OU structure at Contoso, keeping user and computer accounts separate, and then breaking them down further by department or role has allowed us to create and deploy group policy settings that target specific objects within Active Directory. we'll need to restart the client computer. Group policy is refreshed automatically at certain intervals and can also be triggered with the GP update command, which allows you to force the client to immediately reapply settings. This works fine for user configuration settings because those are applied at user logon. Computer settings are applied when the computer starts up or shuts down. And now we'll log back on as Aaron C. The first thing that we'll notice is that Run is gone from the Start menu. Next, if we try to access add or remove programs, we're informed that such access has been restricted. And if we look closely at the My Documents folder, we'll notice two opposite facing arrows. This indicates that this folder is being redirected. And if we look at the properties for My Documents, we can see that it is being redirected to the user's personal folder on the domain controller server. Later on, when we deploy a file and print server, we can redirect those folders to that server rather than to the domain controller. Now we'll look at the automatic update settings. We still don't have permissions to modify these options, but we can see that the group policy settings that we configured before have taken hold. Windows will automatically download and install recommended updates every morning at 3 a.m. And finally, when we try to start Solitaire, we can see that it has been restricted by a software restriction policy. But what if we try to copy this file to a new location and run it from there? For the sake of simplicity, we'll copy it to the desktop. Even though we are attempting to start the file from a different location, it still doesn't work. This is the hash rule in action. But what if we rename the file? Again, renaming does not change the hash of the file, so we're still prevented from playing solitaire. There is one problem. The user Aaron C. does not work in data entry, but rather the help desk. He should not be subject to these restrictions. So, back on the domain controller, we'll open up Active Directory Users and Computers and move his account from the Data Entry Users OU to the Power Users OU. As we discussed a few moments ago, changes in group policy settings can be applied immediately with the GP update command. Just to be safe, we'll use the /force parameter to reapply all group policy settings, not just those that have changed. GP update informs us that certain settings can only be applied at user logon, so we'll go ahead and let the computer log us off. When we log back on, we can see that the My Documents folder is still being redirected. This is because this setting is inherited from the All Users GPO that we linked to the User Accounts OU. When we click the Start button, however, we'll notice that the Run command is back. Similarly, we're able to open the Add or Remove Programs Control Panel applet. And Aaron C. is once again able to play solitaire, after he's done with his work, of course. And finally, if we look at the automatic update settings, we can see that they're still enabled and scheduled to take place every morning at 3 a.m. This is because this setting is inherited from the All Workstations GPO that we linked to the Workstation Accounts OU. Now let's move on to the next customer challenge that we discussed earlier. We'll discuss how we can extend single sign-on and password synchronization to our non-Windows Server systems. Let's review the customer's needs. Contoso's single sign-on needs are relatively simple. They want a solution that works well with Active Directory. They want something that is going to work with their existing legacy application and Linux servers. And it must be cost-effective and easy to implement. Knowing that, our choice is clear: Microsoft Identity Integration Server 2003, or MIIS. So what is MIIS 2003? MIIS 2003 is a centralized service that stores and integrates identity information for organizations with multiple directories. The goal of MIIS 2003 is to provide organizations with a unified view of all known identity information about users, applications, and network resources. With MIIS 2003, you can synchronize identity information across a wide variety of heterogeneous directory and non-directory identity stores. This allows you to automate the process of updating identity information across disparate platforms while maintaining the integrity and ownership of that data across the enterprise. You benefit from improved productivity and reduced administrative costs as identity data is kept up to date across an enterprise without manual updates. MIIS 2003 allows you to easily provision and deprovision user accounts and identity information such as distribution, email, and security groups across systems and platforms. New accounts for employees can be created quickly based on events or changes in authoritative stores like the human resources system. In addition, when employees leave a company, they can be immediately deprovisioned from those same systems. End users can be more productive by accessing needed systems faster, while corporate security is improved as employees' access to systems is automatically terminated when they leave. Administrators benefit from having these processes automated, which improves their own productivity and helps to lower administrative costs. MIIS 2003 enables password synchronization, self-service, and help desk-initiated password management and reset from a web browser. End users and help desk staff no longer have to use multiple tools to change passwords across multiple systems, as MIIS automates the synchronization of passwords. Password management capabilities allow passwords to be easily reset across multiple systems from one easy-to-use web interface. Password resets are the single greatest cost associated with a help desk. This feature helps to reduce the cost of help desk operations while improving the productivity of your information technology workforce. Several components make up the overall MIIS 2003 environment. The primary components are connected data sources, management agents, connector space, and the metaverse. A connected data source is a directory, database, or other data repository that contains identity data to be integrated with MIIS. Connected data sources can be enterprise directories, email directories, NOS directories, human resources database, or data in flat files such as LDIF, XML, or delimited text. A management agent links a specific connected data source to MIIS. The management agent is responsible for moving data from the connected data source and MIIS. When the data in MIIS is modified, the management agent can also export the data out of the connected data source to keep it synchronized with MIIS. Generally, there is at least one management agent for each connected directory. MIIS 2003 Enterprise Edition includes management agents for such identity repositories as Active Directory, Exchange 5.5, IBM DB2, Lotus Notes, Microsoft SQL Server, and many more. A significant benefit of the MIIS implementation of management agents is that no additional software needs to be deployed on the connected systems. This results in a lower total cost of ownership, since additional software components do not need to be managed across multiple platforms. Identity data that is collected by management agents is stored within MIIS in two logical namespaces, connector space and the metaverse. The connector space, or CS, is a storage area or staging area that is used by management agents to move data into and out of a connected data source. Each connected data source has its own logical area in the CS, which is managed by its corresponding management agent. The CS is essentially a mirror of the related connected data source, with each object in the connected data source having a corresponding entry in the CS. The connector space does not contain the connected directory object itself, but a subset of the object's attributes as defined by the management agent. The metaverse is a set of tables within MIIS that contain the integrated identity information from multiple connected sources. All identity information about a specific person, which is stored in multiple connected sources, is synthesized into a single entry in the metaverse. Let's talk about what it takes to get MIIS 2003 up and running. First, MIIS requires Windows Server 2003 Enterprise Edition and Windows Server 2003 Client Access Licenses, or CALs. Because performance, scalability, and reliability are essential business needs for any infrastructure product, SQL Server 2000 has been selected as the data repository for your identity information. SQL Server 2000 provides a powerful and comprehensive data management platform with revolutionary self-tuning and dynamic self-configuring features that optimize database performance. To create rules extensions, a Microsoft Visual Basic .NET or Microsoft Visual C# .NET compiler is required. Customers who want to customize or extend the capabilities of MIIS 2003 can use any of the languages supported by Visual Studio .NET 2003, such as Visual Basic .NET, Visual C++ .NET, Visual C# .NET, and Visual J# .NET, or a third-party language such as Perl. Visual Studio .NET 2003 offers a highly productive environment in which you can extend or customize your MIIS 2003 implementation. The Contoso company has several legacy application servers and directory services that cannot be directly integrated with Active Directory. One of these is a web application that requires a username and password to access. The others are Linux servers. Identity and access management of this server is a challenge because user accounts must be created separately from domain accounts, email accounts, and accounts from other application servers. This has led to increased management overhead and a decrease in security, as these accounts are not subject to domain password policies and are not always removed when a user leaves the company. By deploying MIIS and the appropriate management agent for this server, we're able to decrease management overhead with automated account provisioning and deprovisioning and free up help desk and other administrative resources with password synchronization tools. Security has also been increased with the implementation of password policies and policy checking for this server. Let's talk about the Linux MIIS solutions. There are some third-party MIIS management agents for Linux. One of these is the Direct Control MIIS Management Agent for MIIS 2003 that allows users to provision Linux and Unix via their Active Directory identities. Another is from Open Systems Management Limited, or OSM. The OSM Microsoft Interface, or OMI, software enables its COS user provisioning software to integrate seamlessly with MIIS 2003, providing centralized user administration, password synchronization, and web browser-based workflow for heterogeneous networks of distributed systems. More information can be found at their websites shown here. Now let's move on to the last demonstration. In this last demonstration, we'll show how to configure MIIS to connect to the legacy web application and Linux servers. We'll start with a quick review of the current Active Directory OU structure. The Active Directory Users and Computers MMC allows you to administer and publish information in the directory, including user and computer accounts, security groups, and organizational units. Default groups are located in both the built-in and users containers. The built-in container contains groups that are defined with domain local scope. Domain member servers and workstation computers are automatically added to the computers container. Other users and groups are stored in the users container. The users container stores several default users, such as administrator and guest, as well as security groups, such as domain admins and domain users. Any new users or groups that we create will be placed here by default. The domain controllers container stores both domain controllers for the contoso.com domain. We are currently working on the DC01 domain controller. We've created a separate OU for domain member servers and child OUs under the server accounts OU for additional server types. This will allow for easier delegation of authority and group policy application in the future. We also have a separate OU for user accounts. As was discussed a moment ago, new user accounts are placed in the users container by default, but there is a way to redirect them to a different location, such as the user accounts OU. For now, we will manually place new user accounts in the appropriate OU as needed. At this point, we have divided user accounts into three subcategories: data entry users, power users, and standard users. This will allow us to target specific groups of users for group policy application in the future. For example, if we decide to implement strong lockdown policies, we'll be able to target users in the data entry users OU, while allowing users in the power users OU a less restrictive environment. Similarly, we have created a separate OU for workstations in the domain. Again, this will allow us to implement a desktop lockdown policy for standard desktops without interfering with the needs of the IT department or roaming users. We'll come back to this shortly, but for now, let's return to the presentation. Let's review what we've accomplished. As we've gone through this session, we've seen how moving from a basic to dynamic infrastructure model has helped Contoso. By deploying MIIS, we've helped them become more agile by reducing the security risk associated with orphaned accounts, enforcing compliance with regulations and company policies, and enabling new employees to be more productive as the account creation process has been streamlined. We've also seen how account changes and updates are handled more efficiently. Service levels have increased because provisioning, updating, and deprovisioning user accounts are handled automatically rather than manually. A single point of password administration through a web services application allows user-initiated password changes, freeing up help desk resources, and identity data is propagated quickly and accurately throughout the enterprise. Finally, we've realized cost savings by reducing user calls to the help desk for password resets, reduced costs associated with user management by centralizing administration, and increased user productivity by creating more efficient identity and access management infrastructure. By standardizing and locking down desktops and allowing automated password resets, we can estimate a cost savings of roughly $160 per PC per year. Let's review the solutions that we've deployed at Contoso that might help you in your own company. By using the infrastructure optimization model, you can identify the solutions that relate to your particular organization and understand the benefits of moving to a more dynamic infrastructure. Group policy is a powerful tool for identity and access management. By configuring domain-wide password and security settings and restricting desktop environments with group policy, you can achieve a more standardized and secure environment. MIIS 2003 allows centralized identity and access management across disparate systems within your enterprise. Furthermore, a self-service password administration web application allows user-initiated password changes, freeing up help desk resources. To get more information on the products and technologies we've covered today, we have some online resources available that can help. For the most comprehensive technical information on Microsoft products, visit the TechNet website at www.microsoft.com/technet. You can also visit www.microsoft.com/technet/HOT-12 for more information on books, courses, certifications, and other community resources that relate directly to this particular session. There are a number of other resources that are available from Microsoft. You can find informative books on the Microsoft Press website, such as Active Directory for Microsoft Windows Server 2003, published by Microsoft Press. It's a detailed reference for network architects and administrators implementing Enterprise Directory Service. Microsoft Windows Group Policy Guide, also published by Microsoft Press, provides the in-depth information you need to use group policy to administer your enterprise system, direct from industry experts and the Microsoft Group Policy team. There's also an assessment program available that can help you test your knowledge. Microsoft Skills Assessment is a free online learning tool. It's an easy way for IT professionals to check their skills. You can quickly check your skills in implementing or managing Microsoft products or business solutions. Just take a short 30-question assessment and see how well you know your stuff. The skills assessment includes a personalized learning plan, which includes links to Microsoft official curriculum, specific TechNet articles, Microsoft Press books, and other Microsoft learning content. There's also a way to measure how well you did compared with others who took the same assessment. Microsoft Skills Assessment is an expanding learning platform. Available now are assessments for Windows Server 2003, including security and patch management, Exchange Server 2003, Windows Storage Server, Office 2003, and VisualStudio.net. If you want to take your skills assessment to the next level, a number of certification programs are available. In the highly competitive IT job market, how can you differentiate yourself from the next candidate? The Microsoft Certification Program provides that edge. Earning a specific accreditation provides objective validation of the ability to successfully perform critical IT functions. Embraced by industry professionals worldwide, Microsoft certification remains one of the most effective ways to reach long-term career goals and is a surefire way for companies to develop and retain valuable IT staff. There are a number of accreditations available, starting with the basic Microsoft Certified Professional, or MCP. You can choose to go and become a fully certified systems administrator, or MCSA, or a systems engineer, MCSE, or a desktop specialist, MCDST. Away from the infrastructure side, the MCDBA certification covers the SQL Server products. For more information about the certification program, visit www.microsoft.com/learning/MCP. This session was brought to you by TechNet. TechNet has gone through some changes recently, which I'm sure you'll find interesting to hear about. To help explain this in more detail, I'd like to introduce Ian Brackenbury, TechNet Subscriptions Product Manager, to cover these changes in more detail.
TechNet Plus Subscription introduces its newest offering, TechNet Plus Direct. With TechNet Plus Direct, subscribers get all of the benefits of TechNet Plus for 30% less. Subscribers receive fast, easy access to the tools and information they need to get the most out of Microsoft solutions. A subscription provides IT professionals with immediate online access to all the essential technical resources they need to resolve technical issues faster, get hands-on experience with the latest Microsoft technologies, and build technical skills. Subscribers now get immediate access to all their subscription features in one convenient location, our new online benefits portal. Subscribers get access through subscriber download to Microsoft full version software for evaluation and beta releases without time or feature limits. No more waiting for media shipments. This includes Microsoft Server, client, and application software titles. With full version software, subscribers can make informed decisions about new technologies and deployments at their own pace. For the toughest technical questions, a TechNet Plus subscription also comes with two complimentary professional support incidents. Subscribers can talk to a Microsoft support professional to quickly resolve their mission-critical technical issues fast. TechNet Plus also provides access to over 100 managed news groups. Subscribers can exchange ideas with other professionals and get expert answers to their technical questions within the next business day, guaranteed. In addition, subscribers can also chat with a Microsoft Search Assistant online for help finding the technical resources they need or for assistance with non-technical questions. Subscribers also get access to technical information and tools, including the TechNet Plus library containing the knowledge base, security updates, service packs, resource kits, and more. TechNet Plus offers proven value that far exceeds its cost. The two complimentary professional support incidents alone more than offset the cost of a TechNet Plus subscription. Add to that the evaluation and beta software and other technical resources, and TechNet Plus clearly boosts productivity. Every IT professional on the team needs one. TechNet Plus is available exclusively online without media shipments. For more information, please visit technet.microsoft.com/subscriptions. There are a number of free community resources available on TechNet. You can attend a regular chat with members of the product groups or technology specialists from Microsoft, or you can attend a webcast where you can see sessions like the one you've just watched, but presented live and with the ability to ask questions as you go. You can also read or post questions in public news groups. The news group page lists the available groups and provides an interface from which you can read and post messages. TechNet Plus subscribers can use these groups to post questions, and through their subscription ID, are guaranteed a response from Microsoft support professionals and IT experts by the next business day. The main community site provides a comprehensive list of resources available, more than we can cover on this slide, and the page has some dynamic features with continually updated content. The events page provides dates and details about attending a live TechNet event. These events take place around the world and provide the opportunity for you to talk to Microsoft specialists face-to-face. And finally, the TechNet columns provide a variety of topics written by industry authors. And with that, thank you for taking the time to listen to this TechNet session.